There is one thing that you need in order to do that work. There's one thing that you need that without it, it's impossible. It is impossible to do it. Do you know what that one thing is? It is this thing that, what did Jesus call it? Far from on high. He told the disciples what? Go ahead and make disciples of all nations and start tomorrow. Yeah. He said wait. But wait for the power from on high to come upon you. And then you'll be my disciples. Why is it that he insisted on that? It is because God knows that if they had tried to go ahead and done it in the power of the flesh, they will have fallen flat on their faces and not succeeded to do anything. They needed this anointing from on high to go out and share the gospel. You just can't go and tell someone, listen, some of your friends are like 20 years old. So, okay, this 20-year-old person has spent 20 years rebelling against God and doing his own thing and going out and lusting and lying and being proud and arrogant and jealous. Okay, you go to him and you say, you need to give your life to Jesus Christ and be saved from your sin. And you expect that person to say, okay, sure, ma'am, I'll do that. Can I do it right now? You say, sure. And you, how can I do that? Oh, you need to repent of your sin. Okay, all right, I'm going to repent right now. No, it doesn't work like that. You need the power. You need something from above. Can you go to a dead person and say to a person, hey, you're there in the coffin. Get up and have life. Have you tried it? If you had gone where Lazarus was dead, you read about Lazarus in the Bible, right? If you went there and told Lazarus, Lazarus, come out, what would have happened? Yeah. Hey, Lazarus, you come out. Now, suppose you started shouting louder. Now, suppose you started explaining to Lazarus so convincingly how a grave was not a good place to be. Suppose you started telling him how it was smelly in the grave and the world out here was nicer. Suppose you started telling him how much his two sisters were missing him. Would Lazarus say, I guess you're right. Okay, now here I am after all. Now since you're so right and so convincing, here I come out of the grave. Now suppose you started shouting really loud and you started jumping and you started maybe hitting on the stone that covered the grave. Say, Lazarus, come out, come out. Would that change anything? Everyone thought you would think you were crazy. The only thing that will get Lazarus out of the grave is if the power of the Holy Spirit rested fully upon Jesus Christ, moved and caused Lazarus to come out of the grave. For that reason, for exactly that reason, before Jesus went out and preached his first sermon, he made sure first he got baptized in water. And after he got baptized in water, what happened? The Holy Spirit came upon him in bodily form. Then he was ready to start tackling his public ministry. Now, if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, needed the anointing of God to come upon him like a dove, how much you and I? if Jesus, the begotten Son, who had no old nature in him, needed the anointing. And this is one thing that you need to realize, and one of these days we'll talk about this some more. Jesus was God. He was fully God in the flesh. But Jesus did not use any of his divine attributes when he was on earth. On earth, Jesus put himself at your level and mine. That is, Jesus was a man of God who had to pray, receive the anointing in order to function in his ministry just like you and I. That's why he was also tempted, and he had to overcome temptation in the same way that you and I have to overcome it. That is, when Jesus, explain this way, Jesus was God, fully God. He had his own power. He, as God, say to someone, "You get up and walk." And he could say that to the paralytic, and he could heal them from his own power as God. But he did not use his own power as God the Son. His ministry was to be the sin bearer. The Holy Spirit was to anoint him, the man Jesus, so that he could carry out the miracles and all these other things. That's why Jesus needed to pray in the morning. He would not have needed to do any of those things if he was just allowed. That's why the devil, when he told him, "If you're the Son of God, come turn these stones into bread." He had the capability within him as God the Son to turn those stones into bread. But he was not allowed to. He was supposed to be a man like you and I. Can you turn your stones into bread if you're hungry? Turn your stones into bread. No, you could not. So neither could Jesus allow himself the luxury to do that. If he was going to turn stones into bread, it had to be by the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon him. And the Holy Spirit isn't out for people to show off with his power. "Here, I'm hungry." That turned into bread, right? That's not the way the power of God is to be used. And therefore, Jesus could not just do that. And so the devil was like telling him, "Well, you know, if you, since, you know, the Holy Spirit is not going to just turn this stone, he's there to help you win the lost and save people and keep away from sin. He's not there to help you be a powerful magician. Why don't you use your own power as the Son of God, right? You can do it. You don't need the Holy Spirit. Just turn the thing into bread and eat it." Been a disaster if he had. And so, even Jesus, the Son of God, needed the anointing of God. And therefore, Jesus prayed. He prayed for the anointing to raise Lazarus back to life. In his prayer, when he's at the tomb, it is obvious that he had spent time earlier on praying about this whole deal of raising Lazarus. Remember, he waited 4 days. And I believe he waited 4 days because he needed to pray to seek what the Father wanted him to do and receive the anointing to do it, then go on to that grave and call Lazarus out. No shouting, no jumping, no kicking on the stone, on the entrance of the grave that brought Lazarus out. You can't argue your friends into turning to Jesus, although you should know how to answer their questions and share the word of God with them. But the passage that I want us to look at quickly is Luke chapter 11 from verse 1 through 13. Actually, from verse 5. Jesus knew that this whole topic of people receiving the Holy Spirit will be a very one that people have a hard time believing God for. And therefore, in teaching about prayer here, Jesus says, he gives this whole parable, and the whole goal of it, the whole context of it, is in the context of asking for the Holy Spirit. Why is that? Because Jesus knew that it will be absolutely indispensable for Christians to have the anointing of the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit in order to be able to help anyone. Now quickly, Romans 8, 9, you don't need to turn there, but it says, if anyone does not have the Spirit, it does not belong to Christ. That is, if you're a Christian, you do have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, but you are not filled with the Holy Spirit. That's different. It's like I said, the stream and the river, like I mentioned at the retreat. You need the anointing of God to be able. Now look at this story. This is a person, a friend of him comes at midnight. Your friend comes and you need to feed your friend. You don't have anything. And when this is your dorm mates, the people you study with, your family members, they come to you at midnight, at random time. You might be at a random time and someone comes to you and you need to give them something. You need to give them the word of God. You need to feed them something. And this man had nothing that he could give to his friend. And you and I don't have anything either. You don't have what it takes. You can't go to Lazarus in the grave and just say, you Lazarus, come out because I say so. You don't have anything in yourself. I don't have anything and you don't have anything to feed your friends with. You have to go to someone else whom you know has it. And that's God the Father. And what does God the Father has? He has the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says this, and somehow this friend was like at first, well, I'm at bed with my kids, I'm sorry, I can't get up and turn on the lights and go to the pantry and start opening up the bread and give it to you and make the whole house noisy and make my family wake up, I can't. And Jesus says, if this man, because this man insisted, that person finally gave it to him. And Jesus puts an important, so he says by here a very important lesson that you got to learn. There are certain things that God will not just give to people like that. You have to seek for it with insistence. And the Holy Spirit is one such thing. In fact, Jesus gives this whole talk to just talk about the Holy Spirit. As you see at the conclusion of the passage, how much more would the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You gotta ask for it. You gotta seek for it. And then Jesus lays out an important principle. So I say to you, ask and it'll be given to you. You ask. If that doesn't work, you seek and you'll find. If that doesn't work, you knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Anyone who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it will be opened. Here is a promise of Jesus. He said, for everyone who asks, it will be given. Everyone who seeks will find. If you truly asked and you were not given, then the word of Jesus is broken. And if you truly sought and you did not find, then Jesus' word is broken. If you knocked and the door was not opened to you, then Jesus' word is broken. You need to ask and keep asking. And continue to ask, like Jesus says in this passage, the man was insistent because of his importunity. I tell you the truth, he will not give up and give him the bread because he's his friend. Yet because of the man's boldness, he will give him as much as he is asked. Because of the man's persistence, in some translation says, he will give it to him. You need to ask for, there has to be some, this is what this means. It means there has to be something in your heart that says, God, I'm seeing all these lost people around me. I want to do something to win them to Christ. But I just can't do it on my own strength. I don't have what it takes. Lord, give me the anointing. Give me this thing that you gave the apostles on the day of Pentecost that made them able to go out and win people to Christ. Give it to me. And there has to be that asking to God. And that persistent, you have to seek for it till God knows you're just not going to stop asking until he gives it to you. At that point, God will give it to you. And this is, and that's what's my topic too, that I want to talk about today. It's the greatest need of the hour, the greatest need that we have right now as a church of Jesus Christ worldwide, is that people be filled with the Holy Spirit, is that this anointing will come upon everyone. If you've been feeling that there's something missing, there's a missing element to your Christian life, if you're seeing that there is some sort of a gap between your experience and the experience of the Christians in the Bible, that is exactly what is missing. The Acts of the Apostles, the book, the Acts of the Apostles, should really be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because this was the book of Acts. It is the book of the Holy Spirit moving through praying men and women. That's what the book is about. It's about God moving in power through men and women who got him to move in that power by prayer and by fasting. More than ever before, we need this anointing from on high. The Christian world is not filled with people who are trying to do the work of God in the means of the flesh. Do you know why? Is it that we have to have so much entertainment in churches? It's because people have seen that their churches can't grow unless they entertain people. So every other week there is another gimmick, another scheme, another show. They now have to use clips from movies and The Matrix and things like that to illustrate someone in order to keep people interested and keep people coming. It's because we were here and we were trying to find out how to lead people to Christ, and people suggested all sorts of things. That's why you see all sorts of programs and schemes, and you have the... I was reading online one time, but I ran into this at random. Yeah, I wasn't looking for this, but I thought it was worth reading anyhow. There were strategies on how to make your church grow, and this one was like seeker-sensitive, seeker-oriented. This one was ministry-oriented. This one was family-oriented scheme, and this one was, and you can have alpha course-oriented, and you can have... whatever else, Jesus explosion movements, and you have all sorts of things that people have come up with over the years to get, and it's not, there are people who really try to sit down and figure out how do we get this gospel going and working, but the only problem is these were all people trying to replace the power of God. Here at MIT, I've heard all sorts of ideas. One time at a meeting we had a few years ago, someone suggested a watermelon eating competition to get, I'm not kidding you, someone suggested a watermelon eating competition as a Christian orientation event to get people to turn to Christ. Now let me ask you, do you imagine Peter, John, James, they're leading the early church. They say, guys, we haven't had new members in a while. What do you think? Andrew says, Jesus multiplied the bread. We really can't do that. Let's have a watermelon eating competition. And then Peter goes, that sounds like a good idea. And so there you have the Christian in Jerusalem, and they've set up their watermelons on the street and are calling people to come and eat. It's amazing. But it's kind of sad that we're making it's so funny, but it's sad that today we even have to sit down and come up with ideas like that. If anybody read the Bible, you'll know that that's not something that you can do. And there are all sorts of other things like that. Lord, it's basically people saying, we no longer believe that the power of God saves people. So we have to use all these other carnal things to work. And you know why is that? It's because people have been unwilling to pay the price for the anointing. Why is it that this anointing of God is rare? Very few people have it, have this infilling of the Holy Spirit. It's because people have not been willing to pay the price that Jesus says here. You ask, you persist until the Father gives it to you. So lots of people have just given up. Many people have just given up. They don't think they'll ever get the anointing of God on their lives again. And I ask you, make it your goal. Make it your priority. Say, God, I don't care what anybody else says or does. I'm going to seek for this anointing of God, and I'm going to get it. A lot of people are trying to be famous and trying to make money. Do you want a challenge? Do you like to be challenged here? I have a challenge for you. Become a spirit-filled man or woman. You want to accomplish something really great? Take this verse, underline it, or take this whole, take from verse 9 through verse 13, circle it in your Bible and say to God, okay, I'm going to make this happen in my life. I'm going to get the power and the anointing of God. You've heard some people say here that I've heard these things preached before and they didn't hit home for me and they never caused me to make any change in my life. This time I've heard them and they've made a change. You know why that's the case? I can tell you why. Most likely, when they heard it before, it was people that said it to them without having the anointing of the Holy Spirit to convict them. When they heard it with the power and with the anointing of God, when they heard it with the anointing and the power of God, that convicted them. There has to be a greater measure of that anointing on people. And it has to be on every single Christian. It has to be that you go to your friends and when you tell them the truth, this time around, when they used to shrug it off in the past, this time around they really listen to it and it changes them. The only difference between the two is the power and the anointing of God on the person who is carrying out the gospel. Jesus needed that anointing upon him. You need it too. Make it your goal. In the coming Sundays, I'm going to speak more on this very same topic. Between now and then, this week, throughout this week, seek and pray to God about this. Say, you might not understand everything about this. This might just be the first time you thought about this, I don't know. But tell God, there's this whole thing about how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Jesus is saying that God will give it to those who ask, not just to anybody. But he definitely said that God is willing to give it. But it takes some persistence. It takes some asking, some seeking, and some knocking. If you've gone out and to share the gospel, you've realized firsthand how lost people are, I'm sure. And every time you go, you see how much the great, how great of a need there is out there. Lots of lost people. Most of them, I've never heard the gospel spoken clearly to them by anybody. And what is needed today is people, men, women, who are anointed by God to go out and reach out to them. The greatest good after you've been saved, the greatest good after you've been saved and you've been baptized in water, the next thing for you, the best thing you can do for yourself, for the church, and for non-Christians is that you be a spirit-filled man or woman. This is absolutely central and fundamental to Christian life and ministry. Without it, there will be a lot of turning around, a lot of carnal work that does not produce much. We live in an age, again, when you can't just go and preach a sermon to someone. And the apostle did not live in an age like that either. You don't go to the same people who crucified Jesus and say, crucify him, and tell them, now turn to Jesus and believe in him. And they say, oh, okay, thank you. It doesn't happen like that. There has to be a power from on high that touches them. That's the way that it was supposed to be. That's the way that it should be for us. That's the model of the Bible. Seek the Lord. Cry out to him. Ask him to give you this power from on high. Ask him to make you understand better what this is all about. And he will do so for you. Amen. Thanks for listening.